With all the hype this past week about Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson launching private trips into space, Elon Musk not far behind, I understand, there was another headline from NASA that maybe you missed. The Mars rover is about to collect the first ever samples of Martian soil to bring back to Earth. Thomas Zurbuchen, a NASA administrator for science, says, "We are on the threshold of a new era of planetary science and discovery." And indeed, such exploration is just mind-boggling to me. To think that we can send a machine 293 million miles to Mars, or even just travel 50 miles above Earth to reach that boundary of space. You know, they want to open that up to tourism. Would you go? So I was thinking about the Mars rover. It's called the Perseverance, named by a seventh grader from Virginia. And here's what Alexander Mather said in his essay: "We have the spirit and insight to explore the moon, Mars, and beyond." Both of those names were previous Mars rovers, by the way. "But if rovers are to be the qualities of us," Mather says, "we've missed the most important thing: perseverance." Job, in the Old Testament, had perseverance, was met with setback after setback, and persevered, never gave up on his faith. As we continue in this Digging for the Truth series this morning, we're going to delve a little deeper into this relationship between our faith and persevering. Because just like obedience and forgiveness that we've explored, perseverance leads to Jesus. Following Jesus may not always be easy, but we will be rewarded for our faith. So listen as Lori comes and shares from the story of Job. We did a poll or a survey at the radio station back in January where we asked folks to pick the three most important skills that might be considered to success in school, at work, or in life. That list included things like active listening, adaptability, critical thinking, empathy, impulse control, leadership, the ability to multitask, organization, patience, problem solving, public speaking, self-awareness, teamwork, time management, and perseverance. People felt that more should be done to teach critical thinking and problem-solving skills in our schools. Those were tops among the responses. The ability to adapt was number three. And among those 15 that were listed, perseverance was next. About one out of every five respondents. Outranking leadership, teamwork, active listening, some pretty significant skills. Perseverance requires patience. We're all good at patience, right? It requires maybe a sense of maturity. How would you do in the realm of perseverance? Can you, as James says, stand the test? Persevere under trial. I mean, I get disgusted when I go to the cupboard to get a jar of spaghetti sauce and I can't get it open. Perseverance. Job's character is transformed through his testing. His fragility is replaced by resilience, impotence with power, enslavement with this fierce independence. Here's a man who had everything going for him, and we have this scene unfolding in heaven, kind of like a courtroom. Satan, the adversary, is the prosecutor, trying to bring up charges against Job. He approaches God, the judge, and he thrusts his finger at God's nose and he says, "It's because you've given him everything. Take it all away. He'll curse you. Just watch." And so God's like, "Okay, we'll see." And he gives Satan permission to test Job. His life becomes miserable. His oxen and donkeys were stolen. His servants are killed. His sheep are burned. His children are having dinner together, and a great wind comes and kills them all. Job is so torn that he shaves his head and rips off his clothes. But he still loved God. He refused to lose faith in God. And he did not blame God. The old blame game. How many of you have heard someone blame someone else for their problems? Or the devil made me do it. Ever hear that one? Ever use that one? We don't hear those words coming from Job's mouth. Even with all he's been through. But contrast that with the Garden of Eden, where we began this series 3 weeks ago. When Adam and Eve were tempted, they immediately began the blame game. Adam accused Eve and even pointed it out to God. "It was that woman that you gave me." And this has been human instinct ever since. It's as if Adam is implying, "You're actually to blame, God, because you made her. There's something wrong with her. Yes, I went along, but I never would have done this if she hadn't gone first. The whole thing should be between you and her." You know, learning to take responsibility for our own sin does not come naturally. Think about it. Neither God nor the devil can make us sin. We're the ones who make the choice. And Eve, she was no better. She blamed the serpent, the devil. Yeah, she admits to being deceived, but neither she nor Adam accept the fact that they took the fruit and put it in their mouths. Job here, Job could have blamed God. He could have blamed Satan. He could have blamed his circumstances on something that he did. That's what his three friends did when they came along. They tried to convince him, "Stop moaning. You must be to blame for God punishing you. Good people don't suffer like this." We know good people do suffer sometimes. Jesus says, we're going to face trials and we're going to face temptations and turmoil in this life. We're going to be laughed at. We're going to be ridiculed because of our faith. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be challenged. But like Job, we must keep the faith. Perseverance. Keeping on trusting God. We saw this last week, right, with the story of Joseph. He was put into a pit, sold by his own brothers as a slave, thrown into jail, and yet he trusted God. God used Joseph's circumstances to bring out his best. And he does the same for our lives. When people ask me, why? Why this? Why did that happen in their lives? Sometimes I'll respond with, why not? No matter how bleak life looks, how ugly it gets, how hard it is, God simply asking us to follow him wherever he leads us, his path, his plan is perfect, then we have nothing to fear. Isaiah 35:4, be strong, do not fear, here is your God, he will come and save you. Satan causes Job to become sick with boils. You know, I don't even want to think about boils, but, you know, swollen, itchy, sore, I think crusty bumps, you know, maybe this is just my imagination going here, right? But from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And Job's wife says something to the effect, well, why do you still bother to serve God? Why don't you just tell him that you don't love him anymore? Still, Job persevered. Instead of blaming God or blaming the devil, he defeated the devil. God healed him, blessed him twice as much as before, the scriptures say. Folks, we will be tested. We will be tested with choices that we must make every day. And Satan is going to use every excuse, every tactic at his disposal to deceive us and to try to destroy us. But he knows he can't do us unless we stop trusting God. So how do we persevere? How do we have this job-like faith, Job-like faith that doesn't waver? I'll be honest, I'm not sure that we can on our own. But you know, in this courtroom scene, we have another player, an advocate who fights for us, a defense attorney, if you will, who takes on the adversary, the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4:1, as Jesus himself is tempted by Satan, he depends on the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. And Jesus fasted, he prayed, he quoted scripture. I'm like, wow, if that was good enough for Jesus, shouldn't that be good enough for us too? God has given us tools, he's given us resources for this spiritual warfare that we find ourselves in. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we using them? Romans 5:3-4. Paul writes, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And isn't that what we all need? Isn't that what we're all looking for? Hope? James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. So let perseverance finish its works, James says, so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And here's that ultimate hope found in the 12th verse. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. My niece Jocelyn runs cross country for Mount Union. And most runners will tell you that, you know, coming off the starting block is crucial to be strong in your race, but it also requires perseverance to get to the end. And that's how life is. Paul even uses the metaphor of a race for the Christian life. And to persevere means crossing the finish line, not giving up, to keep going and going. In the parable of the sower, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, you know, some of the seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was real shallow. But when the sun comes up, the plants were scorched. They wilted because they had no root. And then Jesus goes on to explain this. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts for a short time. When trouble or when persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. In other words, we say we have faith, but as soon as that first difficulty comes along, we struggle with perseverance. One last illustration. There are a number of ways to test whether something is really gold. But the best test is with nitric acid. If there's a green reaction, it means that the object is not pure gold. It's either a base metal or it's a gold-plated silver, maybe. But if there is no reaction, it indicates that what you have, indeed, is gold. You may have heard the expression, the acid test. That's where we get that from, testing for gold. This acid test for gold is a great picture of what happens when a Christian perseveres. Our trials are like this acid. Maybe sometimes they feel that way too. They're painful, they're difficult to endure. But when we come through those acid tests with our faith intact, it demonstrates the faith that we said we have in Jesus. It's real. It's genuine. It's not the rocky soil. Maybe you know someone right now whose faith is being tested. Maybe your faith is being tested. Maybe you're being ridiculed or persecuted for your faith. Maybe you're going through trials like Job did. The point is, persevere. Hold on to your faith. Pass the acid test. Turn it over to God, that His Holy Spirit might guide you, lead you. The words of this third verse to our closing hymn really struck me. Just as I am, though tossed about. Some days you roll out of bed and doesn't take long and you just feel like you're being tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. Turn it over to God. Lamb of God, I come. I come to you. And I do it over and over and over because of that perseverance. It's not that God's not answering prayers. He's answering prayers. But it's a sign of our faith. It shows our trust in Him. Go now, knowing the invitation of God to move from what we know to what we have yet to discover, from where we have been to where we have yet to go, from safety and comfort to a place of risk. Go in the name of Jesus, who said, "Follow me," without saying where he was going, just promising transformation and relationship with God along the way. Live this week praising the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and live the church. Amen.